See that, Carl?
Yep.
What is that?
It's the Rock River.
That is the Rock River. You've been hearing a lot about that lately. We're right here in Prophetstown in a campsite, and it's beautiful. It's very placid. It's very calm. It's flowing, I would say, reasonably quickly. And I was just standing here thinking, have we seen this water before? You know? I mean, is this the same water we saw in Theresa or in Watertown? Or Beloit, or Oregon, or is this new water? Did this come from a tributary?
Yes. Has this water changed? Has this water changed us? Have we changed this water? Are we the same Dan and Carl that we were when we started?
These are all unknowables, but worthy of ponder. I want to say something else about Prophetstown, Carl, where we spent the night last night, and this is from NIU Professor Ed Kalari's book, Place Names of Illinois.
As read by NIU Instructor of the Year, Dan Libman.
Oh, well. Prophetstown is in Whiteside. It's a city 14 miles southwest of Rock Falls, where I rode my bike through yesterday. Founded about 1838 on the site of the village of Wabokishiak, or Wapishika, White Cloud, better known as the Prophet, a Sauk Winnebago leader and advisor to Black Hawk. In one of the first acts of hostility of the Black Hawk War in May 1832, a company of Illinois volunteers under the command of Samuel Whiteside, for whom Whiteside County is named, destroyed his village because he had allegedly conspired with Black Hawk. And the post office was established in November 27th, 1835 as Prophet's Town, two words. No listing on when the Stumble Inn was established, which is the establishment Carl and I spent our evening last night. Wonderful place. We thought it should more appropriately be named the Stumble Out, but we're not going to quibble. And let's head off on our momentous journey.
So we made our way down the road to Pink Pony. Fantastic little breakfast place in Erie. Highly recommend it. Really good food, really reasonable prices. After we filled up there, we made our way on towards our final destination, which of course is where the Rock River meets the Mississippi. We knew we were going to meet Bareback, that's Dan's friend, somewhere along the line here, and eventually we did. It was exactly as Dan said. This guy rides his bike without a bike saddle, like 50 miles, no problem. So, of course, I had to ask him, hey, why do you ride without a saddle?
It's because I'm not a real good runner or a good biker. I'm kind of like in a limbo state. So I don't qualify on either one of them. Some says that's not a real bike, and some says you're not a real runner, but it helps me train for longer runs. And that's not the sole reason for it. I've been doing it since 93. I used to take the seat off and on, because I was always riding in high gear. And then I got a mountain bike. That was the pivotal point, because I love riding a mountain bike so much that I felt like a kid, and I couldn't keep up with roadies on my mountain bike unless I stood. So that was the tipping point for me, was to get on the mountain bike and stand and do the best I could. And so after a while, I took the seat off the mountain bike, ride 14 miles, and then I rode 40, then 75. I did my first century, I think it was in 93. And then I modified the bikes over time because they kept breaking because of the pressures involved. But I also found out that there's two other guys that I know. One's a Facebook friend that lives in Serbia that rides without a seat. And another guy wrote a book about, he rides a bike without a seat. I think it's even a single speed. But he does stand up for cancer. He does events and stuff. So I don't think too much about it because I don't think too much at all.
What I really like about riding with Bareback is that he's an inspirational figure. It's not just the fact that he's riding without a seat. I assume he could sit down if he wanted to. It draws your attention. But the fact that he's always talking to people and he brings people in and he opens people up. I've never seen somebody not be totally enthralled with Bareback in his presence. Whether you need help with a flat tire and he comes rolling up and you know that he's going to be able to fix it, or if you're just in a Casey's with him, you know that the cashier is going to light up as soon as he walks in, because they've already had 15 conversations over the course of the last 3 months, and they know each other's names, and that's everywhere you go with him.
Well, if you're on a club ride, and you've got 10 people or so, chances are somebody will maybe get a puncture or whatever. And it's just, yeah, there was somebody just on a recent weekend ride that I came by and I said, well, you need, want to use a floor pump? And they said, and they had a hand pump and they were pumping it off. And they go, no, we're good. We almost got it. And so I saw them 20 miles down the road and they said, oh yeah, we had a pinch flat because we didn't have enough air in the tire. He says, we should have used your pump in the first place.
So we spent a good amount of time with Bareback. He escorted us all the way out to the confluence of the Mississippi and the Rock River. And I have to admit, as we approached the finish line, I had some really conflicted feelings. As a producer, I had spent the entire last week here just focusing on trying to capture as much of this epic journey as possible. And I hadn't paid any attention to this very personal journey that I was going through myself. And as we got there, I started to realize how meaningful this journey would be to me in the years to come.
In a certain way, tracing a river from beginning to end is completely arbitrary. And a lot of times the road we were on couldn't even see the river for miles. But there's something about seeing that landscape and seeing the way that the river has changed the landscape and that the way the people interact with the river that was really inspiring. And that's what I felt the most inspired by, the people who showed up to ride with us for 10 or 15 miles, the people who met us at their towns as we pulled in and wanted to tell us where the good burgers were or where was a good place to sleep. And that's what I'm feeling the most grateful toward now that this is behind us.
So that's it. Thanks for joining Dan and I on this epic adventure, and we hope it inspires you to ride the Rock River Trail yourself. We think you'll enjoy it. I'm Carl Nelson.